part three. You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense
with John and Scott.
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is the Heavy Metal episode 69, part 3. And we're going to just go hog wild on politicians on this one, man. God damn it. And I wish God was here. For some reason, I just didn't get the piss chill feeling.
You took a piss, but you didn't get the goosebumps, huh?
No.
Maybe I should have come in there.
Concerned. And he got a lot of kudos from the fans, you know, they...
Kudoi. Who doesn't love God?
Right. Who doesn't love...
Omniscient.
God.
Omnipotent. The benevolent. The creator of everything, John.
Who doesn't love God?
I'm imitating him. I should do that, probably. It's probably blasphemous. I shouldn't do that.
Oh, that is blasphemous.
Yeah, let's jam all the that's heavy metal. Yeah, motherfucker.
That hurt. All right, we're back again with our crazy ass selves. Rocking out with the heavy metal episode. I got something from Clinton. Actually, not Clinton. It was on the Goebbels Network. Chris Wallace. You ever see that guy?
Yeah.
Chris Wallace. He's always talking some bullshit.
You know he got the shit kicked out of him when he was in high school.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. By looking at the guy.
Yeah.
And I don't think the same thing happened to Bill Riley, though. He's like 6'4". Maybe he did get beat up as a skinny little runt. Skinny, tall, stick figure. Anyway, so he was on Fox. Clinton was. Ex-President Clinton.
What's the guy's name?
Chris Wallace.
Chris Wallace.
And Chris Wallace was asking him some questions about his the fundraiser, the foundation he's working on, and which he's gotten some big supporters.
With the W's dad, right? The W dad and...
I don't think he's part of it, that thing. But he's
definitely
But the
W's dad hangs out with Clinton more than his own.
That's right, his own
stupid chimp-ass son. He's probably questioning Barbara about that.
But anyways, Clinton...
I was in World War II and... when that chimp, the W, was... in your womb, Barbara. How did that happen?
Oh, that's just mean.
Isn't it?
That's just mean.
It's horrible.
She's a hot lady, man.
Oh, yeah. Smoking.
All right. Let's play this bit. It really happened on Fox. And Chris Wallace finally hit, I guess, what you would call the boiling point for hit one of Clinton's buttons, and he kind of snapped.
Hold on, let me just say something before you start the clip.
All right.
And I saw this clip, and the thing about it that you didn't capture in the audio, because it is a long buildup of this question, and this Chris Wallace fucking a-hole, he's so coward, he's such a coward, that he says, yeah, you know, we've gotten a lot of email, and here's what... the people who email us want to know. It's not my question.
Me. Oh, no.
But here's
ask
what
that.
They want to know.
Here's
but
what then, the American people want to know.
Right, the American people. And then he gets into such detail about this question that you know it's not. It's just bullshit.
Yeah.
And just ask it like a man and don't be a coward and hide behind email. Right?
Right.
Don't be a coward. And I was surprised he didn't even pull up a clip of like Clinton's balls or something.
I got to give one little thing to O'Reilly, even though he's kind of a puss too when he brings people on his show. He'll tell people to just shut up, you know, right there. And within good punching in the face reach for somebody to hit him. And I saw a clip once of him and Al Franken going at it. And he told Franken, "Oh, shut up." And it was at like a roasting for somebody. Mm. Anyway, but this guy is a big
pussy. But here's
pussy.
The whole thing about this is they bring people in under false pretenses. Yeah. They say, we're going to talk about this, and they don't talk about that. They talk about something else. They ambush them. They don't prepare them. And you know if the W or any of his stooges come on the same show, they get the questions 100 days
softball.
In advance.
They're softball questions.
And it's a goddamn joke. It's a joke, John.
Well, this thing is about 3 minutes, and if you want me to pause anywhere, I'll pause.
You pause where you want to pause.
But let's check this out, this great response to a question.
But not in the sense of mustering anything like the kind of effort that would be gathered to confront an enemy of the first, second, or even third rank.
That, first of all, that's not true with us and bin Laden.
Well, I'm
sorry, what he's reading there, which I didn't have the whole thing, was from the 9/11 commission regarding that nobody was prepared enough for this attack, and nobody did enough to prepare for it, even though they had information to go on.
Right, and they told Clinton, "Yeah, we want to talk to you about your charitable. We want to talk to you about what it's like being an ex-president and your charitable contributions to society." And then they lob this shit at him.
Yeah. So then he responds to it. So let me back it up. Here we go.
Laden.
Well, I'm talking about the 9/11 commission.
Let's look at what Richard Clark said. Do you think Richard Clark has a vigorous attitude about bin Laden?
Yes, I do.
You do, don't you?
He has a variety of opinions.
Yes, I do.
He has a vigorous opinion.
Yeah, he has a variety of opinions and loyalties now. But let's look at the facts. He worked for Ronald Reagan. He was loyal to him. He worked for George H.W. Bush. He was loyal to him. He worked for me, and he was loyal to me. He worked for President Bush. He was loyal to him.
So what he's saying is this guy who was the head of the counterintelligence or counterterrorism, he was in charge of the whole thing. This guy, he worked for both, two Republicans and Clinton, two Republican presidents. He was loyal to the country, this guy. And here it is. Here's Richard Clark actually came out and said some major stuff, and Clinton listened, but nobody else did.
They downgraded him and the terrorist operation. Now, look what he said. Read his book and read his factual assertions. Not opinions, assertions. He said, we took vigorous action after the African embassies. We probably nearly got bin Laden. I authorized the CIA to get groups together to try to kill him. The CIA was run by George Tenet that President Bush gave the Medal of Freedom to. He said he did a good job setting up all these counterterrorism things. The country never had a comprehensive anti-terror operation until I came there. Now, if you want to criticize me for one thing, you can criticize me for this. After the cold, I had battle plans drawn to go into Afghanistan, overthrow the Taliban, and launch a full-scale attack search for bin Laden. But we needed basing rights in Uzbekistan, which we got after 9/11. The CIA and the FBI refused to certify that bin Laden was responsible while I was there.
Certify.
They refused to certify. So that meant I would have had to send a few hundred special forces in helicopters refueled at night. Even the 9/11 Commission didn't do that. Now, the 9/11 Commission was a political document, too. All I'm asking is, anybody wants to say I didn't do enough, you read Richard Clark.
Do you think you did enough, sir?
No, because I didn't get him.
Right.
But at least I tried. That's the difference in me and some, including all the right-wingers
who
are attacking me now.
Yeah.
They ridicule me for trying. They had 8 months to try. They did not try. I tried. So I tried and failed. When I failed, I left a comprehensive anti-terror strategy, and the best guy in the country, Dick Clark, who got demoted. So you did Fox's bidding on this show. You did your nice little conservative hit job on me. What I want to know is...
Wait, I'm asking a question. You don't think that's a legitimate question?
No, it was a perfectly legitimate question, but I want to know how many people in the Bush administration you asked this question of. I want to know how many people in the Bush administration you asked, why didn't you do anything about the coal? I want to know how many people you asked, why did you fire Dick Clark? I want to know how many people you asked.
Did you ever watch Fox News Sunday,
I
sir?
I don't believe you asked them that.
We asked plenty of questions.
You didn't ask that, did you?
They asked coal.
They don't ask
crap.
With Iraq and Afghanistan, there's plenty of stuff to ask.
Did you ever ask that? You set this meeting up because you're going to get a lot of criticism from your viewers because Rupert Murdoch supported my work on climate change. And you came here under false pretenses and said that you'd spend half the time talking about, you said you'd spend half the time talking about what we did out there to raise $7 billion plus in 3 days from 215 different commitments. And you don't care.
But President Clinton, if you look at the questions here, you'll see half the questions about that. I didn't think this was going to set you off on such a tear.
You launched it.
Well, you were wrong.
You set off on a tear because you didn't formulate it in an honest way and because you people asked me questions.
You're a cocksucker. See, Bill Clinton can't say that. We can say that.
That's right.
Chris Wallace is a cocksucker.
Well, there used to be this thing floating around the internet, one of those chain emails. And this one here says, after 1993 World Trade Center bombing, which killed 6 and injured 1,000, President Clinton promised that those responsible would be hunted down and punished. And there's a list here, and at the end he says... maybe if Mr. Clinton had kept his promise, an estimated 7,000 more people would be alive today, which is BS here. This is what it says about, I'll read that and then I'll read the conclusion. On 26 February 1993, a car loaded with 1,200 pounds of explosives blew up in a parking garage under the World Trade Center, killing 6 people and injuring about 1,000 others. The blast did not, as its planners intended, bring down the towers. That was finally accomplished by flying 2 hijacked airliners into the World Trade Towers on the morning of September 11th. 4 followers of the Egyptian cleric Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman were captured, convicted of the World Trade Center bombing on March 1994, and sentenced to 240 years in prison each. The purported mastermind of the plot, Ramzi Ahmed Youssef, was captured in 1995, convicted of the bombing in November 1997, and was also sentenced to 240 years in prison. One additional suspect fled the U.S. and is believed to be living in Baghdad. This is pretty old, so this is from like 2001. But anyways, what it's saying here is that, they went out and they caught their man who did this. The W is not interested at all in catching his man.
Well, he is now. He wasn't interested.
There's another election.
Now he's I don't care about Osama. Yeah. Osama? Who's that? And now he is, and because it's all these elections. And the great thing about for our show is because there's all these elections, the W has to get out and speak more, which is always wondrous to listen to, especially after listening to Bill Clinton speak. Here's a guy who at least has a fucking brain in his head and can carry on a dialogue and a debate with somebody.
Yeah.
And even call this pussy Chris Wallace on this crap. And then you listen to the W and you're like, Jesus, this guy is so goddamn incompetent. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Oh, unbelievable. No doubt. Here's another one. The 1995 bombing in Saudi Arabia, which killed 5 U.S. military personnel. President Clinton promised again that those responsible would be brought to justice. This one here says on November 13, 1995, a bomb was set off in a van parked in front of the American-run military training center in Saudi Arabian capital of Riyadh, killing 5 Americans and 2 Indians. Saudi Arabian authorities arrested 4 Saudi nationals whom they claim confessed to the bombings, but U.S. officials were denied permission to see or question the suspects before they were convicted and beheaded in May 1996. So, the guy is a president. I thought he was pretty decent. I think he's a hero. Why did anybody get his ass out of trouble with his wife? For banging some intern.
Well, the thing is, he the thing, the biggest difference for me is you can exchange ideas with the guy.
Yeah.
And he can speak.
Right.
And the W, you cannot exchange ideas with him because he can't even comprehend them unless somebody draws a picture in crayon for him. And he cannot speak at all. He's an embarrassment. Can you imagine if Chris Wallace asked the W these questions? He'd be like, oh, Chris,
blah, 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 blah.
That's an interesting question.
It's an interesting question. That's what he always says when he doesn't know the answer.
And then he'd start talking about something else completely unrelated.
Even if he could bullshit himself out of it, that he starts out with, that's a very interesting question.
It's a joke.
Anyways, here on 2000, October 2000, and my wife even made a mention about this, saying, yeah, a lot of terrorism happened during Clinton. How about the USS Cole? Well, here it says October 2000, two suicide bombers detonated an explosive laden skiff next to the USS Cole. The problem with that there, the investigation has been hampered by the refusal of Yemeni, because it was in Yemen, officials to allow FBI agents access to Yemeni nationals and other suspects in custody in Yemen. But the problem here is that the U.S. Cole bombing occurred 1 month before the 2000 presidential election. So even under the best of circumstances, it was unlikely that the investigation could have been completed before the end of President Clinton's term of office 3 months later. So when they rip on the guy and say, no war for Monica and all that shit, and ripped on him for going after bin Laden the first time, now they're saying he didn't do enough.
Right, and what did Bush do for the first 9 months in his...
Nothing. He didn't go after the fucking USS Cole people.
He couldn't even pronounce terrorism.
Turn.
They had to sit him down and work on that after 9/11.
So how about, what do we got here? We got something to play about the W.
All right, before we get to that, I got a couple miscellaneous.
Okay. I thought we were going right
George
into the
W. Bush doesn't like to shake hands with black people, John.
What?
On his first meeting at the White House, Barack Obama remembers shaking the hand of the president, who turned to an aide nearby who squirted a big dollop of hand sanitizer in the president's hand. Not wanting to seem unhygienic, the senator writes, he also took a squirt. So Barack Obama, in his new book, meets the president, shakes his hand.
Oh, my God.
The president turns around and said, hey, I just shook a hand at the Negro over here.
When them blacks.
Somebody squirt me with a dollop of soap.
Oh, man. So, Barack did the same. Yeah, I fucking touched Whitey.
And then, I actually found somebody who thinks the W is no dummy.
Come on.
This is Frank Devine. He's an Australian, and he has a job. He has a job writing things, which means he's some sort of a reporter.
Okay.
And he says, the legend of Bush the Stupid is a product of the ingenious foisting. Yeah, he writes for like a seventh grade level. He needs to bring it down so I could read it here. Ingenious foisting on him by his political enemies of the nickname W. Now, first of all, his political enemies came up with that? Didn't the W come up with that himself?
This guy's just trying to...
The W embraced it.
He'll be popular. See, now you already made him popular because he's controversial. He figures, well, if I just write any bullshit...
How did I make this idiot popular?
Just
this
by
guy's going to get fired.
Reading his... retarded.
This is
story.
How New York sophisticates believe ignorant redneck Texas cowpokes pronounce the president's middle initial. That's exactly how they pronounce it. The W is easy to say, catchy and funny, but Americans haven't used it for quite a while because it's become clear Bush ain't no ignorant redneck cowpoke. Did I say
you.
That right? Ignorant redneck cowpoke. Get this, John. Stupid young men don't get respectable degrees from great universities.
Oh, okay.
An undergraduate degree in history from Yale,
what about
and
the
an
Unabomber?
MBA from Harvard.
How about the Unabomber?
Or learn to fly high-tech warplanes. Stupid Republicans don't serve two successful terms as governor of Texas. a dedicated Democratic state that, in 120 years, has elected only six Republicans among its 47 governors. Stupid, challenging, stand out in high-achieving families.
That's because he totally lies when he's he acts like he's all center.
And he closes with this, John.
Oh.
Here's what he closes with.
All right.
Nobody is obliged to agree with the president, but it is a mistake to tune out so forthright and coherent a commentator who seems to know what's going on. And the key word here is seems to know.
Yeah.
Seems to know, because he has
no clue. Chris Hitchens,
Christopher Hitchens. I try to read Christopher Hitchens. I can't get through the first paragraph.
Ugh.
Who is that guy writing for?
I don't know.
I can't read it.
I don't know.
I want to know, can anybody understand?
It's way up there.
What that guy's saying. I don't understand it.
It's so impossible.
All right, let's get to the W. Now, a while ago, we played some Scarborough County.
Country.
And Scarborough asked the question, is the W an idiot? And what I loved
about
that.
Well, I think it begs the question. I don't think it's something that he needs to ask. It just begs it.
Well, he did ask it. And the thing that I loved about this segment on his new show or whatever show he has is they had, is W an idiot at the bottom.
Going across the thing.
No, it was static.
Dead, burning onto your
burning
CRT.
Into my, yeah, with the question mark. Is the W an idiot? And he had people come on and say, yeah, he's an idiot. No, he's not an idiot.
And he's a Republican, you know.
Scarborough?
Yeah.
All right. Well, he had Bill Maher.
Which is not a big deal. I'm just saying that it seems like all the Republicans were going Bush's way, and then he started getting way extremely hardcore right, and then people like Scarborough are like, wait a minute, I'm for like lower taxes and shooting guns and all that, but I'm not for all this other bullshit.
Stupidity.
Yeah,
I'm not for stupidity.
That. I'm not going to jump on that bandwagon.
So like, he had Bill Maher. Is that how you say it?
Bill Maher.
What's his show on HBO?
He has a show. It used to be Politically Incorrect, but I don't know what it's called now.
So he had him on the show. Let's listen to that clip.
All right.
I did not say the president was an idiot. Linda Ronstadt said it. But what I said was, Bill, a lot of conservatives are quietly saying the same thing in Washington. Why is that?
I heard you. But just the fact that it was brought up, just the fact that it's a debatable point, and by the way, I don't think it really is a debatable point. I think the jury is kind of in on that. I think the science has decided, yes, George Bush is an idiot. And I know his defenders say, well, yes, he can't string a sentence together. He looks like an idiot when he speaks, but he's really very sharp off camera. But that doesn't really explain policy stuff, does it? It really doesn't explain not getting on board with global warming or fighting the wrong war or sitting there for 7 minutes on 9/11. All that stuff doesn't have to do with articulation. It has to do with someone who really is in way over his head, who also, let's face it, didn't change on 9/11. He was a guy who, you know, didn't know what he was doing before that and let his father's friends tell him what to do, and he still is.
Wow.
And the thing is,
Bill Maher just putting it out there.
During that,
we got to have him on the show.
During that clip, they showed video. They showed the W, and they showed some clip from when he was in the schoolroom.
Yeah.
And after they had told him, and he looks like the most confused motherfucker on the planet.
Yeah.
He, at that point, right then, I mean, he was skating along as president. He could handle it.
The first one was no big deal to him because he thought a plane just fucking lost control and hit the tower and they couldn't confirm it was terrorists. I don't think. I think it was the second one that really the fucking shock hit his face.
And you could tell right then, okay,
I don't
he's
know
completely
what to do.
Overwhelmed.
I hate this job.
He doesn't have, I was just partying 10 years ago.
No.
5 years ago, dude, I was doing coke.
Remember he came into office and then the whole fucking year before that, just before that happened, he was on vacation. He was the most vacation president.
Still is.
Yeah.
Vacation.
Ugh. What a lazy fuck.
Lazy, stupid ass.
So we play these other clips or what?
Yeah, so then these other clips are They asked him about Civil War. Somebody asked him about the Civil War going on in Iraq. All right. What the W has to say.
I'll read to you what Kofi Annan said on Monday. He said, if current patterns of alienation and violence persist much further, there is a grave danger the Iraqi state will break down, possibly in the midst of a full-scale civil war. Is this what the American people bought into?
You know, it's interesting you quoted Kofi. I'd rather quote the people on the ground who are very close to the situation, who live it day by day, or
who are dying,
or General Casey. I ask this question all the time. Tell me what it's like there. And this notion that we're in civil war is just not true, according to them. These are the people that live the issue. I reject the notion that this country's in civil war based upon experts, not based upon people who are speculating. I fully recognize it's still dangerous and there's more work to do. The enemy has got the capacity to get on your TV screens by killing innocent people. And that's how I learn it. I can't learn it. I can't, frankly, can't learn it from your newscast. What I've got to learn it from is people who are there on the ground.
The guy can't learn anything. He's incapable of learning. Whatever coke and the alcohol, those neurons just don't create new learning capacity.
Those neurons.
So he can't even talk about learning. It's disgusting what he talks about
neurons.
Learning.
Jesus Christ, Scott.
And, hey, I find it interesting that you quote him. I'm going to quote some people that are on my payroll, and they know. I've proven that I like yes men. And if you contradict or you try to exchange ideas with me, I can't comprehend that, so I'm going to fire you.
Yeah, Richard Clark, George Tenet, any
Colin
general,
Powell.
Colin Powell, anybody who disagrees with him.
So I'd like to quote these people that are on my payroll that say yes to me.
And they better say yes or else.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, now in the next clip,
fucking idiot.
They asked some other Jamoke on the show. He's some Australian guy. He's not a Jamoke. He's an Australian. I think he's a journalist. He's actually living in Iraq, which is crazy.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before, that stupid illusionist. Don't go to the jungle for 30 days. Go to Baghdad and live with the Iraqis for 30 days. Yeah. See if you survive that, you cocksucker. Anyway, here's this real man, this real Australian living in Iraq, not in some safety zone. And they ask him, what do you think about the president's remarks? And here's what he has to say.
Oh, look, really nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, the fact that when President Bush talks about those living on the ground,
Crikey.
And he cites General Casey and Ambassador Khalil's ad, I mean, these are men who could not be more divorced from the Iraqi reality. They very much live within a bubble, be it physically within
a
the
bubble.
Green zone, or be it within the bubble of heavy US protection. And this is true even for their advisors and for the commanders and the American soldiers. I mean, they never take the uniform off. The Iraqi people can never talk to them unless through a filter. It's very different than living amongst them. And when people say that not enough good news stories are being told, you ask an Iraqi family what it is that they're experiencing when the bodies of their neighbours are showing up in their streets, their kids can't go to school for fear of crossing sectarian lines, and that kidnapping and killings are just going on around them. Solid.
Wow.
Right. And the bottom line is,
Charlie, he gets angry, and he bit my lawnmower, and pulled it into the water, crikey, and he bit the cameraman. Oh, my, he got my jugular, almost. Charlie gets angry. Sorry.
Here's the bottom line. The bottom line, and this came out today, I think. A stark assessment of terrorism trends by American intelligence agencies has found that the American invasion and occupation of Iraq has helped spawn a new generation of Islamic radicalism.
I guess I'll throw that fucking story.
And that the overall terrorist threat has grown since September 11th attacks. So it's
that was my story.
Not only is it civil war in Iraq, but the stupidity of invading Iraq has made the terror threat even greater.
Oh, yeah. Oh, without a doubt. And they're like, oh, oops.
But if you talk to the W, no.
Oh, well, see, they don't trust the CIA. That's why Cheney brought in his own guys. Because he said, the stuff you're giving me here is way better than that crap I get from the CIA, which is all the real investigative stuff about what Assam is doing and And but there wasn't enough shit on Saddam. And Cheney wanted him bad, so he said, "Hey, manufacture it, find something, whatever." And this guy's like, "Hey, this is awesome. I'm some schmuck who doesn't know what I'm doing. And just because I ate lunch in the same cafeteria as the CIA people, they just hired me to go through all these secret files and find some bullshit. I'll just make it up. And, yeah, we'll use this shit that Curveball said links them." And Cheney buys right into it because they don't trust their own government departments.
It's called catapulting the propaganda.
Right,
John.
Catapulting right into the people.
Also, this other news story came out. Torture in Iraq, John, is worse than under Saddam.
Wow.
Torture in Iraq is worse. Too. And under the regime of Saddam Hussein, it's totally out of hand, according to United Nations investigator. The situation is so bad, many people say it is worse than it has been in the times of Saddam.
Wow.
A special investigator on torture has said. Isn't that great? Hold on, let me get the door.
All right.
I liked it better when God was here.
He just flowed over there.
Yeah, I didn't have to get up.
Yeah.
Look at the door for this a-hole.
Come on. All right, come on back, man.
Hustle up.
How come your feet have the same sound? Okay, there we go. They're louder. All right.
Yeah.
So get your shit on.
Oh, wow, we have to go through this every episode.
Scott, my kids.
Can't we just get them in between part two and part three,
yeah,
so we have to listen
to
this?
I guess so. All right, well, continue on. Sorry.
Oh, I was
just
got to
get them all set. Oh, you
Do
are.
Do you have anything else on the stupid W? The
no.
W? The W?
Good evening,
ass.
Godless sodomites.
I don't. I mean, there's plenty. There's tons. I got tons and tons and tons. But we'll have to save them for the rest of the... what am I making? Is it night time?
I'm sorry, God. John. That was me. I had a
late night last night. All right. You know what I'm saying? Are you ready to go?
Ooh, yeah, of course I'm always ready.
All right, here we go.
Just trying to catch my breath there.
Let's roll it.
Your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, Joe. And our first story tonight. Columbia's biggest TV hit is Without Tits, There's No Paradise. In a nation obsessed with soap opera, it's the hottest telenova in years. Airing nightly in primetime, Sin Tatas No Ha Paricio, Without Breasts, There's No Paradise, revolves around 17-year-old call girl who agonizes that her flat chest is a barrier to deliverance from poverty and a life of ease as a drug trafficker's pampered plaything.
Wow.
The show, based on a best-selling true-to-life novel by the same name, is presented as a faithful, albeit tragic, reflection of a Colombian culture rotted to the core by criminality. Its legions of loyalists notwithstanding, many are upset with the show for the image it portrays. In newspaper columns and radio interviews, feminists and family groups have decried the show's portrayal of women as sexist affront, more inclined to satisfy flesh-filled male fantasies than generate meaningful debate about Colombia's unrivaled obsession with plastic surgery.
Wow.
Next story, John.
Wow.
Riots in Hungary after tapes of politician admitting to lying to get elected. Let's hope they don't find out about Santa Claus anytime soon, John. Next story, John. Jackie Chan admits to doing porn.
What?
30 years ago. Jackie Chan admits to doing porn 30 years ago. Kung Fu film star Jackie Chan yesterday admitted that he acted in a porn movie 31 years ago. Responding to a report revealed by a Hong Kong media, Information Times reported, "I had to do anything I could to make a living 31 years ago, but I don't think it's a big deal. Even Marlon Brando used to expose in his movies," Chan said. The porn movie at the time was more conservative than the current films, he said.
Films.
Hong Kong netizens Hong Kong netizens tip local media that Chan was in a porn movie or in defamatory in 1975 with a porn movie star who was famous at the time.
Wow.
Next story, John. New study shows lesbians orgasm at a higher rate than straight women.
Wow.
New study. Lesbians
New
orgasm
study.
At a higher rate than straight
I
women.
I heard that.
In other news, you can make a living as a reputable scientist studying lesbian orgasms.
Nice.
Next story, John. I'm sofa king retarded.
Ah!
I am so fucking retarded. A man accused of fondling home health care nurses while posing as a mentally retarded person who needed diapers.
Oh, I got a movie for you to take home.
Has been sentenced to a year on home confinement. William Mucklow, 40, of Charleston, was sentenced Tuesday after pleading guilty to two counts of battery, a magistrate clerk said.
Hi, I'm Jeffy. I'm Jeffy.
Mucklow was also ordered to pay court costs and to pay one victim more than $400 in restitution. Mucklow, posing as his mother.
Wow.
Responded to ads for home health care workers and hired two nurses.
Who
telling
knew?
Them a man with a mind of a 2 and 3 year old needed care, according to criminal complaints. Police said Mucklow then posed as a mentally retarded person. The nurses, who worked separately in February and March, said Mucklow grabbed their breasts while they cared for him.
That's awesome.
Next story, John.
So this is a normal guy who was just crapping himself.
Right.
And pretending to be retarded.
I'm sofa king retarded. Obese women found to breastfeed less. John, obese women found to breastfeed less.
Okay. You're setting something up.
Have to
Please.
Roll in flour to find their lactating boob. Next story, John.
Oh,
and I didn't have time to write a headline for this.
Their portrait is usually an aerial shot. Right?
It says write something, and I didn't have time to write something. All right, but I'll just get into the story. A man standing in a checkout line at the Chesterton ShopRite took out his penis and urinated on a cash register last Friday afternoon, according to police. By one account, the man stood up on the conveyor belt before relieving himself. Police responded to the report of indecent exposure at the time, but were unable to find the man. ShopRite officials called it an unfortunate incident and said the register was cleaned and disinfected immediately. Next story, John.
He didn't get zapped?
Shuttle crew declares mission accomplished.
Just looks, like the W.
Looks like they'll be in orbit for 4 more years. Next story, John. Add another reason. This is going to add another reason to the... Boy, this is a poorly written headline I put in here. Now, John, we're going to add another reason to why Islamo-fascists hate us list.
Why is that?
We're going to add another reason. The average American home now has more television sets than people. That threshold is crossed
That's
within
true.
The past 2 years, according to Nielsen Media Research. There are 2.73 TV sets in a typical home and 2.55 people.
Wow.
While televisions are now on buses, elevators, and airport lobbies, the development may have as much to do with TV's ubiquity as an appliance does conspicuous consumption, whatever that means. The popularity of the flat screen TV now make it easy to put sets where they have not been before.
Right.
In related
news.
Related news, and yet another reason Islamo-fascists hate us. Americans expect to spend $5 billion, John.
Billion.
Do you know what we're going to spend $5 billion on?
On the spotted owl?
On Halloween candy.
Oh.
Decorations and costumes this year.
And I'm going as Jack Porkins from Star Wars.
Oh, yes. Recon 6.
No, Red 6.
Red 6, of course. It's been a while since I've seen Star Wars, one of my favorite movies. Next story, John. Jessica Simpson is opening a chain of barbecue restaurants called Daisy Dukes, which will have scantily clad waitresses in tiny hot pants. In related news, my tiny hot pants have suddenly become tighter after reading this news story.
Oh.
Next story, John.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait. Okay. I had to buy them. Well, it won't be a producer of the year for me.
Beer pong, bling, and plumber's crack.
Beer pong?
Beer pong, pling, and plumber's crack.
Nice.
Added to the Oxford English Dictionary while the term oral hygiene still not defined. The Oxford English Dictionary has legitimized pop people, polysexuals, and hard asses everywhere by adding the colorful descriptions on its online edition. Among the 1,000 entries announced by editor-at-large Jesse Schiedlauer are bada bing, suggesting something happening suddenly,
bada bing,
empathetically or easily and predictably, carpet bombing, beer pong, Wi-Fi, bling, and plumber's crack. The English language changes and evolves all the time, and the Oxford English Dictionary has to keep up, Schiedlauer said. Our editors are currently going through the entire alphabet bit by bit, writing new entries and revising existing ones in order to stay current. Next story, John.
Oh, by the way, we have 20% of the vote in production. 26% goes to Griddle Cakes Radio and Digital Flotsam at 53% of the vote.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, John.
No, it's all right. We're the rookies on the whole list.
All right, if you can rationalize it that way, all the more power to you.
If I don't, I'll end up in the bathroom with a razor blade and a towel.
In related news, John, Channel 4 scraping the bottom of its favorite barrel in an effort to titillate its jaded viewers.
Really?
This is out of England.
Out
has
of
come
England.
Up with a wheeze that BBC makes the 4. Rest of reality television look like high culture. It is preparing to screen a program called Masturbation for Girls. That features, I kid you not, John, an orgasm coach who teaches three ladies all her tricks, which they will demonstrate live on camera.
That's out of sight.
Next and last story tonight, John.
Oh.
All right. I've really screwed up this time. Remember that story where I said, write something here, and yeah, I didn't write the headline? Well, yeah, I guess I did write that headline, and it's the same story as before, but it's my last story tonight.
You want to read it again?
I can read it again. Here's this one includes my headline. Man
okay.
pees.
Well, I have a story for you to read.
Man pees, then flees. A man standing in a checkout line at the Chester ShopRite took out his penis and urinated out of the cash register last Saturday afternoon, according to police. ShopRite officials called it an unfortunate incident and said the register was cleaned and disinfected immediately. That's the news, John.
All right, Phil McCracken Whitcomb with the news.
Thank you, Charles.
Thanks, Phil.
My pleasure.
You taking off?
Yeah, I gotta go.
All right, thanks for coming.
Oh,
watch your head.
Sorry, put my head on the bike. Ow. That hurt. All right, then.
All right, bye-bye.
Fuck it.
The story I had, I forgot to read it in celebrity news, but... A fourth Die Hard is coming out. Did we cover that?
No.
Yeah.
With Bruce Willis?
Yeah. Justin Long and Maggie Q are coming aboard Live Free or Die Hard.
I want to die hard when I go, John.
20th Century Fox's fourth installment of the Die Hard series. With Len Wiseman directing, Bruce Willis is reprising his role as John McClane. The story centers on an attack on the U.S. computer infrastructure that begins to shut the country down. The mysterious figure behind the scheme has figured out every digital angle, but never counts on old-fashioned analog McClane.
Sounds good.
Yeah, Long will play a smart younger guy who assists McClane. Q will play a world-class hacker at odds with McClane. And production begins this month, Scott.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Long is the kid that appears in the Apple computer ads. He's the Mac. You ever see that?
I think so.
He was in Dodgeball.
Wasn't he in Herbie?
Yes.
Herbie Fully Loaded?
Yes.
Lindsay Lohan?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes. Anyway, we're going to take you out with this song. A little test for the listeners.
See how savvy our listeners are, John.
Yeah.
How musically savvy they are.
And what's the test?
Test is they have to tell us what the name of the song is, but more importantly, who the performer of this song is.
Right. All right, that's all we have this week. AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And we're out of here. Thanks for listening.